Growing up, I loved school. Even now, when I walk into an office supply store, I get a rush of adrenaline. The smell of new book bags just trigger these anxious and excited feelings that remind me of getting ready for the first day of school. Yeah, I'm that girl. My mom even laughs about my relationship with school.
Your relationship with school was you were born on that first day. You had a relationship coming out of the womb.
So my mom wasn't surprised that when I was 16 years old in high school, while everyone else was looking at cars, I was looking at colleges. I think it's safe to say that I've been waiting to graduate from college for the past 8 years. And up until this point, I thought I'd done everything right. Internships, study abroad. And finally, here I was.
Megan Elkan, Megan Cumlaude, Honors College graduate.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck.
As I was walking across the stage, I really wanted to enjoy that moment. But I was thinking about where I was going to be in 2 months. I didn't have a plan for life after graduation. You're listening to Millennial, a podcast series that documents something that no one teaches you, how to maneuver your 20s, a period that everyone goes through and that 80 million people find themselves in right now. Each episode will be produced every 2 weeks, and we'll be documenting what it's like to be one of those millennials.
I know what you're thinking. How millennial? To make a podcast about being a millennial. But when I told the idea to my boyfriend's father, Chuck Severance, who's in his 60s, he was kind of excited.
Great idea, Sergio. Great idea.
Yep.
So has one of these been on yet?
No.
She's working on the first
episode.
Well,
what the hell's the holdup?
I'm working on the first episode.
Oh, okay.
It's coming along.
The second voice in there was my boyfriend, Ben, who has been giving me the same advice that I also heard from his father.
If you're going to be self-employed, you have to be self-motivated.
I'm getting there. What does that look? What is this behind your back look?
If you don't know what I mean when I say millennial, here's an idea.
A new breed of American worker is attacking everything you hold sacred. They're called millennials.
Millennials are the largest generation of Americans ever.
They have climbed Mount Everest. They've been down to Machu Picchu to help excavate it, but they've never punched a time clock.
A third of young Americans between the ages of 18 and 34 years old have been forced to move back in with their parents.
40% of the unemployed, that's about 4.6 million people, are millennials.
And I'm one of those 4.6 million people who doesn't have a job. I also have less than $1,000 in my bank account. I don't have health insurance because I can't afford health insurance. I don't have a credit card because I'm afraid of credit cards. And my ultimate goal is this, to get paid to do something that I love. But it's hard to imagine that that's attainable when you're in your 20s. When I look at people who I admire, they aren't in their 20s. They're in their 30s or 40s. Like they just woke up and they were 30 and successful. Because I'm not 30 or successful yet, after graduation, I did what about 85% of most college kids do these days. I packed up my stuff, said goodbye to my friends, and headed home. Before I came home, I had long talks with my mom on the phone, which I didn't record, I'm so sorry. But I basically told her that the reason why I didn't have any plans after graduation was because I didn't know what direction I wanted to take. I had the I'm overwhelmed with too many choices syndrome. Bear with me as I explain this to you. I graduated with a degree in photojournalism, but during that time, I learned how to make online short documentaries. And in the process, I fell in love with audio and radio. As a senior, I did have a lot of choices. I could be a newspaper photographer, a newspaper videographer, work at a TV station, be a photo editor, be a wedding photographer, be a wedding videographer. I could work at a production company, manage digital media for a nonprofit, have my own business, make short documentaries, could be a radio producer, be in charge of social media for an organization. But after graduation, I didn't want to just apply someplace with an empty heart. That's why I headed home, to a safe and cozy, comfortable place to figure things out. But coming home wasn't what I had expected. It wasn't until I was walking up the steps to open the door to my old room that I realized I had over-romanticized what it would be like to be home. Some people, when they come home from college, their rooms still have clues of their former high school self. You know, old trophies, awards, books, pictures of old friends. It's all still there. Sometimes the same bed sheets are even still there. But my room was completely empty. My walls had been molding for the past couple of years because of a leak in a chimney. So my parents had to move everything out of my room. And when they did, they just never put anything back. There was no bed or a dresser. The wallpaper I had grown up with wasn't even there. But my room didn't shock me as much as what I saw next. Next to my room is my mom's room. During the same month of my graduation, my mother and the dog had moved out of the house that she had shared with my father for the past 40 years. I had known about it. She had told me. She was unhappy. He was unhappy. So this was her solution. But hearing it and then seeing it are totally different. When I walked into my mother's old room, it looked abandoned, like someone had ran through quickly and grabbed the most important things and then left. For instance, there was an antique love seat in the corner of the room. It was green, velvet. I had grown up with it. The bottom had fallen out, and it was something that was left to be unused but not thrown away. There are also books on my mom's shelves that had all fallen over because they had nothing to lean against. In another corner, there were boxes from my grandmother's will that were for me. There was also a carpet, a lamp, and a frameless single bed that was lying on the floor that I was supposed to sleep in that night. My dad had made it up for me. But besides that, I could tell he hadn't been in this room for a while, maybe even since she left. I knew when I first walked inside my house it didn't feel like home. It wasn't a place where I could rest my brain and clear my thoughts and make decisions about my future. After a week of going back and forth between my father's house and my mother's new house, I made my first crucial decision as a postgraduate millennial. I decided to move in with my boyfriend, Ben, who I had been dating for the past 2 years, long distance. Ben was really excited that we were moving in together. But I was anxious and not in the I'm excited for the first day of school kind of way. Before we give you a preview of the next episode of Millennial, let's hear from our sponsors. If you would like to be a sponsor, please email me at Megan, M-E-G-A-N, at commontwine.com, C-O-M-M-O-N-T-W-I-N-E.com. Help to create this first episode was provided by Alex Kappelman, Olivia Gunn, Ben Severance, Dylan Ward, and Patty White. Also, special thanks to Austin Fehrenbach and Micah Tours. Next up on Millennial, things start to shape up. I move in with Ben.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Let's do that. Coltrane looks great above that chair.
And I also get a random text from a friend that could lead to a job opportunity on one of the leading newspapers in the country. I'm Megan Tan. Thank you for listening. See you next time on Millennial.